The occasion was National Engineers Week, so it was no surprise when San Diego industry executives, university professors, and civic leaders decided to hold a public forum here at the Elementary Institute of Science to reach out to young students with encouragement and money to become engineers. EIS is in the Emerald Hills neighborhood of San Diego, ideally located to attract a diverse group of students to its after-school programs in science and technology. Paul Jacobs, the CEO of the wireless communications giant Qualcomm, had some big news for these and all San Diego students during his visit.
Engineering education is incredibly important to us. It's the way that we fill the pipeline of getting new employees to fuel the growth in our company, and I think to fuel the innovation that drives the American economy. And so here to talk about that, and here also to announce a scholarship program that we're launching today.
It's called the San Diego Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, or STEM, Scholarship Fund.
And we're actually providing $250,000. $100,000 of that will actually go as an endowment to further fund scholarships into the future.
All San Diego high school and community college students majoring in math, science, engineering, or technology are eligible as long as they are well-rounded and have a B average or better. And they have to be enrolling at San Diego State, Cal State San Marcos, or UC San Diego. Qualified students can earn up to $2,500 a year for 4 years.
Having kids get passionate about engineering and getting an engineering education is important not just to Qualcomm. It's important to the country as a whole. It's important to the region.
So now you guys are going to take this to market?
Yeah, hopefully.
Do you have your company already set up? All right, you let me know so I can invest in it, all right?
We'll use Qualcomm as a company.
Perfect.
We're a global company. We have about 10,000 employees worldwide, but the vast majority of those employees are in San Diego. And so this is a way of really giving back to the community that sustains us, and to keep a lot of those students in San Diego, because we actually recruit pretty heavily from the local universities.
The goal is to stimulate the next generation of innovators.
Our chips today go into lots of different cell phones. But actually, in the beginning, I used to run the business that made the cell phones at Qualcomm. So we'd come up with ideas for cell phones, and I'd go around the world and see people using our phones. It's really cool.
And the enticement of a scholarship to study in San Diego had some appeal to these students.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking of applying to study mechanical engineering at Cal Poly Pomona, but seeing that there's scholarships here for like schools like SCSU and stuff, I know that's definitely something I want to consider, seeing that it's closer to home and everything as well.
Well, I'm very excited about that because I'm hoping to become an engineer myself, so I see that as a big opportunity for me to get more funding to go to college in San Diego, wherever I need to go, for example, UCSD or San Diego State, which is originally my plan already, so that's going to help me a lot.
After a tour of the works in progress at EIS, Dr. Jacobs joined those gathered in the auditorium to discuss the education and workforce challenges facing San Diego.
We're responding to globalization and competitiveness, quality education, access to quality education, as well as identifying the gaps that can be bridged through targeted philanthropy. Today we'll have an opportunity to dissect this challenge, and in a very rare turn of events, by the close of the program, we'll be able to celebrate some first steps forward on an important solution. Now, how's that for a program? I like to call that a little bit of action. It's not every day we get to do that.
For our region, we have had a constant focus on this issue because it really does dictate how well San Diego is going to compete for exciting companies like Qualcomm, who require a first-class workforce. There are lots of debates about how companies will start and where they will locate, but always at the top of the list is a qualified workforce. And this afternoon, I think you're going to hear repeatedly about some of the absolutely amazing statistics that illustrate how the United States is losing its competitive edge in technology, particularly as it relates to engineering. And if you read the papers, you know about the rapid rise of China and India, who have an intense focus on math and science. And of course, the solution is not to put up walls, but to compete more effectively. couple quick statistics. In 1975, we were number 3 in science and engineering students. We are now 17th. If the United States is going to compete, the American education system must improve substantially, starting at the very earliest ages. I don't believe in inventing new things when you have something that works. I think a place like the Elementary Institute of Math and Science should be replicated all over the place. Over the last 6 years, we've been actively engaged in workforce development by creating and supporting K-12 education programs, particularly those that prepare students for college or prepare students for careers in science, math, and engineering fields. And we think that these programs and many others are helping to address workforce issues in the San Diego region. The second statistic is the current attrition rate for second-year engineering students exceeds 50%, and a lot of that has to do with them being less than prepared when they enter college, because first-year engineering students just aren't prepared for the kind of curriculum they encounter in college. And so we've partnered with San Diego State's School of Engineering to help expand Project Lead the Way, which is a national program that provides pre-engineering curriculum to middle and high school students. This program is getting a lot of momentum in San Diego County, particularly due to the generosity of Qualcomm. I sometimes think you think math and science philanthropy, the word for it is Qualcomm. They have been so incredibly generous. Well, currently we have about 20 schools in San Diego that have already adopted the program. What we're doing is we're trying to enhance the curriculum by recruiting professionals from science, technology, and engineering communities to come into the classrooms where they can talk about their careers and the education it took for them to get to where they are. It is really an outreach challenge so that the kids understand the connection between the tough classes and the exciting careers. Statistic number 3, close to my heart, by eighth grade, girls' interest in math and science just plummets. And I think what happens is the boys then outnumber girls at least by 2-1. That's probably what happened to me. I don't know how I went wrong. But this year we partnered with Sally Ride Science to produce the first Sally Ride Science Festival here in San Diego. And that gave 5th to 8th grade girls and their parents are important in this process, some hands-on experience with math and science. It was the largest Sally Ride Science Festival that's been done, and the girls were spellbound when they heard about how Sally Ride got into her love of science and how she pursued her dream to become an astronaut. So stay tuned, there'll be another one next year. Statistic number 4 is not a statistic, it's just what all of us know, and that is your customer needs to know about your product. I call it the goosebump factor. When I was at TRW, I said, if you can make me understand something, I will make anybody excited about it, because I thought that what happened at TRW in defense and space was absolutely amazing. Math, science, and engineering are really exciting fields. They make a difference. The companies in San Diego are doing absolutely amazing things, from the life sciences to biotechnology, to wireless communications, to defense and space. We need to have our kids understand the link between their studies and exciting careers where they can make a difference. So we're doing some extensive research this year with a broad cross-section of students in 4th and 8th grade to understand their perceptions about math and science careers. We think it's a marketing challenge, and we think that San Diego is in a great position to solve it. I just want to really applaud eWeek for raising the visibility of engineering for this week, but I also want to challenge all of you to understand that we need to focus our students and their families on the importance and need for engineers 52 weeks of the year. Well, I'm tired of giving commercials for Qualcomm, but I just have to say they are really superb. But if you believe that, as I do, that we have a real threat to our competitiveness as a region and as a nation, then you all need to bring your time, talent, and treasure to math and science education, because we believe that if we all work together on this subject, that we can effectively make a difference and deliver the kind of skilled workforce that I need to talk about when I'm selling San Diego to companies for investment here.
Qualcomm last year hired in excess of 2,000 employees. Virtually the vast majority of those employees were engineers. In the upcoming 12 months, we expect to hire about the same amount. And again, the majority of those future hires, we also expect to be engineers. However, not enough of the engineers we hire are educated and drawn from our San Diego schools, both K through 12 and the universities. The supply is just not enough. And some of those who are in our San Diego schools who would otherwise be interested in pursuing a career based on math and science do not do so because they don't have the means to do so in San Diego. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. We view at Qualcomm that there really is a clear connection, therefore, between math and science education and the engineering workforce at large, and moreover, a connection between the engineering workforce and the success of companies that base their work on math and science, companies like Qualcomm. So we're going to hear more about that correlation between those factors from tonight's keynote speaker. Tonight's keynote speaker is someone who was educated in our San Diego schools, someone who was educated at the University of California with an undergraduate degree, a master's degree, and a PhD degree, all in engineering. Tonight's speaker is someone who's been the primary driver at Qualcomm for helping Qualcomm provide services for wireless systems that go beyond voice-to-voice communication, the kind of communication between friends and family, to seeing that communication that's based and involves more connections to the internet and exchange of valuable data and entertainment and other applications that are very important to our communications in a modern society. Tonight's speaker is often heard and is someone who talks about how wireless communication has made and is making the world a better place. So therefore, it's really my pleasure to introduce tonight's speaker, Qualcomm CEO, Dr. Paul Jacobs. Paul?
So good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for being here. It's great to see, you know, it's great turnout here. I think this venue is really appropriate for the topic at hand, talking about education. I don't know, have many of you gone and seen the labs yet? Okay, you'll get to do this later, but if you go out there and you see these kids, the smiles on their faces and their ability to actually touch and see the benefits of engineering, playing with these projects. I mean, to me, that's how you ignite the passion in a kid for a career in engineering and science and in education. I mean, for me, it was all about knowing that I would make something and somebody else would use it. I'd walk down the street, and I remember the first time I got out of the plane and went to, you know, Hong Kong, and I saw people carrying around a cell phone that we made. This was just an amazing thing for me, and I, you know, being able to transmit that kind of a level of excitement and passion to the kids, I think that's what, you know, this kind of a venue really gives them a great start. And I think, you know, it's already been doing a lot of work along with sparking the interest in, you know, hundreds of kids. I guess it's been here since, or not in this facility, but around since the 1960s. But it's just this really important thing. And I really don't feel like there's anything more relevant in the high-tech society that we have now of, you know, how education and science and how these come together, how we as a society benefit from those things, and how we spark that. And I think, you know, innovation really is the cornerstone of who we are. And when I say we, I mean it in a very collective sense. I mean, we at Qualcomm, we as San Diegans, and we as Americans, and kind of think about our region. You know, San Diego, it's gone from kind of a small Navy town through sort of a boom in defense, and now, you know, we're this technology powerhouse, and I think, you know, that's recognized
around the world that a lot of innovation coming out of San Diego. If you look at our country, I mean, obviously the country's led these global revolutions in, you know, information technology and telecommunications and life science. And you know, if we weren't innovators, if we didn't have that capacity to translate knowledge into, you know, new products and services, I don't think San Diego would be what it is today. I don't think the United States would be what it is today. And certainly Qualcomm wouldn't exist. You know, we've been here. We grew up here. I mean, this was a company that started in San Diego 20 years ago with 8 people. You know, today we're actually a very global company. I think I spend too much time in the airplane traveling around and not enough time in San Diego. But you know, we're a company where there's other companies using our networks, our third generation technology networks, in 75 countries now. And besides being a global company, we're also really, truly a San Diego company. You know, Dan touched on it. We employ over 10,000 people worldwide, but most of those people are here in San Diego. And so the question is, you know, why were we able to grow the way we were able to do that here and around the world? Why were we able to create those opportunities for our partners, for our customers, for our employees, and also be able to give back to the community? And I think, you know, at the end of the day, it is actually a very simple answer. It's really about the quality of the people that we were able to attract to the company, their creativity, their focus, their dedication to, you know, really wanting to change the world. And Qualcomm is, in a lot of ways, a very unique company in its extreme focus on people. I mean, unlike a lot of other companies, we don't have factories, we don't have big inventories, we don't have a lot of the traditional assets that many major companies have. Our business model is called asset light. When we come up with chipsets, we don't actually run the factory to build them, we outsource that. We do the designs. We come up with new technologies. So the core asset of Qualcomm is our people and the ideas of our people, and those manifest themselves in patents on new technology innovations or in chip designs or in other things that we bring to market. But it's people and ideas. That is what Qualcomm's all about. And I think, you know, those people have done some pretty amazing things for a little startup out of San Diego. I mean, we've actually just passed, in the last year, we shipped 2 billion chipsets for CDMA phones. So that's the brains that go inside your phone. And that actually doubled over the course of 2 years. So 2 years ago we were at 1 billion, and now we just passed 2 billion. And you know, we're really trying to push the envelope, trying to innovate and kind of stay ahead of the rest of the world in what the phone's actually able to do. So one of the things we're doing now is we're actually bringing TV down to the phone. We actually said, how do you build a system that allows you to bring these kinds of things to a phone in a way that consumers are going to be able to afford and enjoy and won't, you know, overwhelm the network capacity and all of these kinds of things? We really tried to figure out how to do that, and now we are actually showing the system off. And I think, once again, out of San Diego, we're leading the rest of the world. And there are other people in the world working on these technologies, and that competition is what causes the industry to move forward. And I think the other thing we try and do is really try and fulfill that obligation to, you know, give back to the community that sustains us, whether it's the community in San Diego or the broader community. And one of the, you know, good examples of that is when Hurricane Katrina hit, we have this group, a government systems group, that builds technology, takes a wireless technology and provides it to various governmental agencies. And that group actually went down to New Orleans with, you know, we packed up a plane and brought down cellular telephone equipment and satellite phones and all these things, and really made a difference to the relief efforts on the ground there. And you know, the people who did that, I mean, they really had to use a lot of creativity. They had to install cell sites on the roof of a building where the first floor was actually flooded. So they had to climb through this, get up there, and hook it up and get the power going. But really, really made a you know, huge difference there. So, you know, I think, you know, these are some things that we've done, and I think, you know, looking forward, we're pretty well positioned for a lot of growth. And you know, I think there's a lot of success ahead of the company and the community from this. And really, innovation is very key. Obviously, there are other pieces to it. We got to continue to execute. We have to be, you know, very good partners. But one of the things that we've done, and one of the things that our people have been able to do, is really build a reputation in the industry for saying that we're going to do something and then actually doing what we said we were going to do. And really that focus on execution and on innovation and product and technology development, I think that's going to continue to allow the company to grow. And of course, ultimately, you know, it really does depend on how well we work with our partners. But that growth brings up the question, how are we going to continue to staff that growth as a San Diego company, as an American company, and as a global company? And how do we, all of us, as an industry, as a community, as a country, how do we actually fulfill that growth, provide the people who are going to continue that level of innovation, that level of execution? And I think, you know, as corporate citizens, as community leaders, really we have a responsibility to encourage our youth to pursue their interests in science and technology. And that's very key, and we have to provide them with the opportunities like they have here to explore and understand what that career is about. It's not, you know, people have this mindset that it's about a book and I gotta write things down and, you know, do these hard math problems and things like that. You know, it's about the result. It's about somebody walking down the street with your cell phone that you worked on or whatever product it is. And we have to get people to, you know, the kids to really understand that. And that's going to allow us to succeed as a business. It's going to allow us to succeed as a community. And I would say, you know, Qualcomm's workforce, as Dan talked about, I mean, we need the bright, inquisitive minds of our employees, neighbors, community members, children, their children, not just them, and we have to cultivate them. We have to encourage them. We have to develop them through K through 12, through the universities, and into the workforce. We were just in one of the labs, and Frieder asked the kids, you know, well, I'm here. You can get an education from me, and you can get a job from him. And kids said, well, I want a job. We said, well, you better get an education first. So, you know, I know it was in the program, and it's, you know, the state ranks first in overall federal science and research and development dollars, and we, as of 2002, we rank first in high-tech employment as a percent of total employment. But I got to say, if we look to the future, you know, there's a couple of warning signs there, and they're pretty bright warning signs. And we rank 28th in workforce education. That's unbelievable. And our children rank last in middle school science scores, according to National Report Card Science 2000 State Assessment. So that tells me something. It tells me that our pipeline of innovators is at extreme risk. And, you know, we've known since before 2000, there was a Glenn Commission report, before it's too late, said our education system was challenged at keeping the nation competitive, had a, you know, No Child Left Behind initiative, and that, you know, established very high expectations for student performance, but, you know, initially focused on math and language arts, and only beginning next year to include science. In 2005, there was a RAND Corporation study that looked at California K through 12 schools, and it said that our schools have been underfunded for the past 3 decades compared to the national average. And too many California teachers are ill-prepared to teach math and science in elementary and middle school. And despite class size reductions at grades K through 3, teachers still teach classes with 30 to 40% more students than the national average. So it's not really a big surprise that the kids are not scoring that well on the national standardized tests. I mean, it's, you know, a fundamental issue that we need to go address. And even more recently, the National Academy of Sciences They put out a call to action in Washington among the policymakers, and they said, look, we have to do something here to strengthen our science and engineering. And really, as Julie said, it's a lot of it has to do with globalization. You know, that report, and I'm sure a lot of you have read this bestseller, The World is Flat. I mean, the country is facing an incredible challenge globally. And I don't know how many of you have been to places like Shanghai recently, but if you have it in your mind that China is this underdeveloped third world country, you need to go there because it will scare the heck out of you. And I use that word heck, and I'd rather use something stronger. So, it's a challenge we definitely have to face here. I mean, right in our community and in our state and in our country. And really, there are fundamental things that go across all these reports and all these studies. And there really is a misalignment between the K-12 science and math education programs and where our high-tech and biotech industries are headed and what they need. We're seeing flat or declining numbers of American students with university degrees in physical sciences and engineering for nearly two decades, and that's in the face of increases in the college-going population. So that's pretty scary. And clearly, even when I was in school, and I think today it's even more, we have this growing reliance on foreign nationals and students with U.S. visas to fill the slots in the universities and in the graduate education program. So we're not motivating our kids to go ahead and get into these programs. Somehow they've got it in their minds that that's not the thing to go do, that there are other opportunities that are more beneficial to them or more exciting to them. And I think that's just fundamentally something we have to go deal with. So when we talk about this global issue, there are a lot of studies out there that look at, say, the number of new engineering students. And some of them show China as graduating 2 to 4 times as many engineers as the United States. And they show India graduating double or maybe the same amount of engineers as the United States. And you know what? Those countries are doing that because they saw what the United States was able to do economically as a world power through its commitment to science and engineering. And they're watching us. They're learning our lessons, and they're going to play the playbook back. And it's at a time when we're, kind of taking our eyes off the ball. So I think, this is a call to action for us. We cannot overlook this if we want our country, our region, to remain competitive. And globalization, it really does mean that our students here vie for jobs, for the ability to create new ideas, products, new industries with the best and the brightest from around the world. It used to be that you wanted to be a U.S. student. The opportunities were so great for an American. But now, bright kid in Shanghai can compete in the world market. I mean, it's possible these days. And when you have hundreds of thousands of students graduating in China and India and tens of thousands of engineering students produced by our universities, you can see that competition's not going to get easier. It's going to get a lot tougher unless we make some changes. So there's the doom and gloom. What are we doing about it? And so the President's State of the Union address, he introduced this American Competitive Initiative, and the proposition is that we'll see a doubling of federal support for basic research in physical sciences, and this R&D tax credit will be made permanent to encourage more private sector investment and to focus on K-12 education. And hopefully Congress is going to act on those proposals. I mean, there's two bipartisan bills that are going through the process right now, and so hopefully that'll be a good start for us if we can get that through. But obviously federal action's not the whole answer. I mean, it's really about local initiatives, and we definitely need to come together as a community. And I think there are things that are happening in our community that are extremely positive that way. We have this Closing the Achievement Gap initiative with all 42 school districts in San Diego County. That's That's great. And I think, this community, we really are a powerhouse in science and technology and engineering, and that should go hand in hand with a robust K through 12 educational system, because we really need to, be prepared for those future workforce needs. We need young people to get inspired in math and science education, and not just to be in that field themselves, but also to be part of the group of teachers who are going to then build on the next generation. So, we need to build both the talent that's going to do the work, and we need to have the talent that's going to teach the people who are going to be the future employees and future leaders of science and technology here. And so there's some other great things along with this closing the achievement gap. We've seen there's a report just about to be published from the Science and Technology Working Group of the San Diego Foundation. And, it describes these opportunities about how San Diego can really be a national leader in science and education and math education. And so there's a number of programs that are working here in San Diego that actually are getting national attention. My brother is very involved in High Tech High, so I'm really proud about how well that's been successful, and our friends at Preuss is at the Preuss School. And there's these other programs, AVID and the Compact for Success in the Sweetwater High School District. There's programs, Pisces for middle school science, and Project Lead the Way for high school engineering projects. All of these have to do with education, and for us to compete, we really need more teachers. I mean, it's fundamental there. We have to get more teachers, and to get more teachers from colleges, we have to encourage more children to stay with math and science through school and into college. And to keep them engaged, we have to show them at a very early age how interesting math and science can be in elementary school, in middle school, and in high school. We to keep their interest, we really have to celebrate their achievements too. We have to motivate them. And I think there's a lot of moving parts to this. I mean, this is not a simple problem to solve, which is why it's taken a long time not just to recognize the problem, to put in place the things that will go solve it. It's much like what we do at Qualcomm. We have to put a lot of pieces in place. It takes a long time. It takes some vision. We have to have that vision as a community. There are people who think that the one thing that got the United States really focused on science technology was the space race, and we have to have another space race. It's just not going to happen without another space race. I don't think that's true. I think we have this legacy, we have the industries, we have this background in technology, and we have all the incentive that we need. We understand as community leaders what globalization means. So I think we just need to start now. We need to say this is something we're going to do, and we need to retake the lead in science education. And I think the way to do that is going to take the community. It's going to take academia. It's going to take business. It's going to take philanthropy, and it's going to take public investment. So Qualcomm, in particular, we intend to continue to use the majority of our corporate philanthropy towards enhancing education. And I would say that we really are trying to find the levers that we can pull as hard as we can to make those changes. And today, we're going to talk about a new opportunity we've created to reach students in San Diego schools. So I guess given that we're here celebrating the 50-year tradition of National Engineers Week, it's I'm very happy to be able to tell you that we're making a contribution of $250,000 to establish the San Diego Engineering Scholarship Fund. So now that you've clapped, I'll tell you the fine print. No. Okay, so what the program's about is we're going to provide these scholarships for local use, so San Diego region kids who want to pursue engineering degrees at San Diego State, at Cal State San Marcos, and at UCSD. So it's really to go provide to those kids who might not necessarily have the means to get an engineering education, to go find those best and brightest and get those kids into an engineering education. And it's... So what the fund is going to be administered by the San Diego Foundation, and we're definitely hopeful that this is going to be, you know, one piece of a puzzle to energize and encourage students to think about themselves pursuing a career in math or science or technology, because this way we can say to them, look, tuition expenses, that's not going to be your big barrier to going after this. If you're motivated, if you're passionate, if you want to go for this, you know, we're going to be there to support you. And so we want to make sure that we build this pipeline in San Diego, because that's what's going to secure the economic future of this region. And I will say, this is our piece of it, but it's definitely not something that Qualcomm can do alone. We can do a lot, and we try to do a lot, but it really is a community effort here. And I think it's a leadership issue that we all need to collaborate on. And I really strongly encourage other business and community leaders to join in the effort, to contribute to the fund. You know, that way we're going to be able to ensure that this is a program that will be able to go on for years and continue. And I think through that, efforts like that and efforts like the ones that we're doing, we can ensure that this region really does, you know, remain a center for innovation. So, you know, Qualcomm, for us as a company, the future definitely depends on those talented people, the people that we can bring to work for us. And that, and really it's true for the rest of the technology community in San Diego and around the United States. And I would say, you know, there's something about technologies. Technology companies live in this environment of continual change, and it's really important for us to be the agents of that change and not the victims of that change. And I think, you know, as a country, we really do have the right culture. I mean, this is a culture in our country that celebrates risk-taking, that gives benefits, it promotes creativity. I mean, that is one of the things that's fundamentally different about the United States, I feel, than a lot of other countries around the world. So we have the right culture. We really need to find a way to evoke the passion in our kids so that they can join the community of creators and not just be consumers. And I think that's, you know, fundamentally, if we want to continue to be innovators and leaders in technology, you know, we need to realize that our future is in science and math education. I mean, it just has to be a priority for us. So thanks very much.
Now we get to move to our panel of discussants, who will really get into, I think, more of the action. Now he's one of the first step forward with this generous contribution on the part of Qualcomm. The question is, what more will be done in order to rise to the challenge and keep San Diego and this region at the center of competitiveness and innovation, not only in the state and the nation, but in the world? So to lead us in that, I'd like to introduce Denise Liu, who is Senior Licensing Officer with the University of California, San Diego. And in her spare time, she's also the immediate past chair of the Science and Technology Working Group at the San Diego Foundation and a current member of the Board of Governors of the San Diego Foundation. Denise?
Thank you all very much. And I would like to invite up our panelists, Dr. David Hayhurst from San Diego State University. And Dr. Hayhurst is currently the Dean of the College of Engineering at San Diego State since August 2002. And he was former Dean of the College of Engineering at the University of South Alabama in Mobile. Prior to that, he was chair of the Department of Chemical Engineering at Cleveland State University. Our next panelist, Dr. Gino Flores from San Diego City Schools. He is the Deputy Superintendent of San Diego City Schools. And he has been here since mid-October, so this is a fairly new appointment. And he was the former Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction for State Superintendent Jack O'Connell. And our other panelist, Dr. Frieder Seidley from the University of California, San Diego. He is the Dean of the School of Engineering at UCSD, and he is also the Chair of the Governing Board of Cal IT Squared, the California Institute of Telecommunications and Information Technology. And so, without further ado, I'm going to initiate the discussion and the questions. I'm going to address the first questions to each of the deans, and Dr. Hayhurst, if you will be the first to answer. What is happening to the number of student applications over the last 20 years of students coming from high schools versus community colleges and applying to engineering departments? And juxtapose that with the demand for engineering graduates during the same time span.
Do I look old enough to be able to address it for 20 years?
Not at all.
Let me just talk about my 4 years here at San Diego. Our College of Engineering has been growing continuously over the past 4 or 5 years. We're at about 2,200 students now. Now, what is interesting to me about that is that that happened at a time where San Diego State's limits enrollment. And what it tells me is that more students are choosing to go into engineering, which I think is a very encouraging sign. We also have a large number of transfer students, as many urban universities. We probably get about 40% of our students come to us from the community colleges. Some of them are folks who have gone out and worked and decided that now it's time to come back and get a degree. As far as what we hear from our employers, well, you certainly heard it from Qualcomm, but I hear it from Sony and Northrop Grumman. There is a tremendous demand for more engineers. A lot of the Northrop Grumman always points to the graying of their engineering workforce and the need to replace these engineers over the next few years. And I think that's certainly a national trend, and we certainly have to keep that in mind.
Thank you. And Dr. Seidley, may I ask you the same question?
Sure. Certainly at UC San Diego, we don't have any shortage of applicants. We typically get in engineering every year over 8,000 applications, and then in the end we take on about 800 students, 700, so less than 10%. Okay. Even so, some of the numbers have leveled off in terms of applications. Our take rate is getting higher, meaning that we only admit even better students. Okay, since our reputation has grown over the years, we are now one of the top research engineering schools in the country. We just had today our research expo at UCSD, where we had over 600 people come to look at posters our graduate students had prepared. And then we had over 250 graduate student posters. And Ralph Cicerón, the president of the National Academy of Science, gave the keynote address. And it was very interesting to hear what he had to say. And just to pick up a little bit on what Paul said, one of the questions we should ask ourselves is, are our children and grandchildren better off than we were? And when you ask that question in China, you get a clear yes. And when you ask that question in India, you get a clear yes. Okay. When you ask that question here, I'm not so sure, okay, that we get a clear yes anymore. I think this is what we really need to address. Now, in terms of our students, typically 85% of our students come directly from high school into UCSD, and 15% come the route of the community college. Mm-hmm. But we need to really reach out to make sure that our high school students understand what engineering is all about. And I think this is what National Engineers Week is all about, too. You can hear by my accent, I was not born here, I was born in Germany, and engineering is, as a profession, very highly regarded in Germany. When you go to China these days, engineering is the highest regarded profession, higher regarded than medicine, for example. In China, over 40% of the high school graduates end up in engineering these days. In the United States, it's less than 5% and declining. Okay. So these are some of the realities we have to face up to. And we need to reach out to the high school level, to the middle school level, to the elementary school level, to make sure that our children, our students are aware of the engineering opportunities. I also looked at just the starting salary structure of our graduates from UCSD last year, 2004-05, and management training, 36,000, teaching, 31,000, sales, 36,000, consulting, 47, accounting, 42, and so on. Then you get to design construction engineering, 45, project engineering, 48, software design, 52. So the higher paying jobs are the engineering jobs. And so there is no reason why we should not look at engineering as a profession, as a much more valuable degree endeavor in the end than it is currently seen in this country. And this is what National Engineers Week is all about.
My father did not attend high school. It was not expected at that time in the late 30s that everybody would graduate from high school. It was available, but not expected. And in his personal situation, economic times of the late 30s, he was not able to. But he was very good in mathematics. And after serving in the military, he knew he needed a skill. He got his skill in the private industry as an apprentice in the railroad, but then became an aerospace machinist in Southern California, a man with no high school education. But he knew he had skills, and he utilized those skills. For him and his generation, my father, they promised that their children would have opportunities they didn't have, and they passed additional bonds to build schools and colleges and provide scholarships. And you and I continue that dream by continuing to tax ourselves to establish universities. And if anything, we need to remind our legislature and our governor that that promise needs to be continued and expanded. We need more universities and more space so top programs such as these two that you hear about today do not have to limit and close their doors, but it can expand them. That we can have programs in place at community colleges and at high schools to start students in that process of getting them training. In K-12, we're trying to do that with smaller class sizes in early elementary grades and by going to smaller learning communities in high schools where we get more relevance and we get more relationships and we're able to encourage students that these opportunities are available. It's really unfortunate that there are state dollars that go unused because we made them available and students didn't know that they were there, or that these opportunities, they don't know about these various opportunities that are still available to them. I hope that we never close the door to learning for any of our children, no matter what their age may be.
Yes, here.
Just a question about educators. And if I'm a passionate college student about math and science, and I'm looking at earning $31,000 a year as a teacher or $45,000 a year as an engineer, I can maybe barely put a roof over my head as an engineer. Why would I go into teaching?
I think this is an excellent question, and I asked exactly the same question to our President Dines up at in UC Oakland when they talked about all these great initiatives to put 50 or 100,000 more math and science teachers into our school system. There is no there for our math and science teachers, and I can say that. My wife is a math teacher, okay? So we need to provide the right carrot, otherwise it's not happening, okay? You're absolutely right.
Yes.
The question that I have is internship programs. Do you require that in like the last year of college that they go into industry and kind of work and have some OJT or on-the-job training? And what happened to the concept of industry paying the students while they work?
Yeah, we certainly have a large number of internship programs. Both within the university with our own research faculty, since we pride ourselves as being one of the top research engineering schools, We encourage our students to participate in research from day one, okay, when they walk into UCSD to work with our faculty. We have internship programs during the summer where we work with our corporate partners. We have 54 companies participating in our corporate affiliates program, and we have started a concept, what we call the team internship concept, where we don't send even individual interns, but teams of interns, undergraduate students, to our local industry partners for the summer. They get paid by the local industry, and they work on real engineering problems. And then we have what we call the TIES program, that's Teams in Engineering Service, where we send teams of our engineering students to local nonprofit organizations to solve real engineering problems for our local nonprofit organizations. And again, many of those are underwritten by our local industry. So yes, this is something we take very serious and which we expand on every year.
Can
and
I?
Let me
make just one comment on that. We also have about 45 companies that provide internships to our students. But it's really in the selfish interest of the company to start bringing these students on board and developing a relationship. It is very competitive to hire an engineering student. They're great, they get great job offers, and the companies like Qualcomm want to identify the best ones as soon as they can and get them part of a corporation. It's a win-win for the student and for the corporation.
And with that, I think we're going to have to wrap this up. I'd like to thank our panelists again for... And for closing remarks, I'll bring Dr. Dan Sullivan back up to the podium.
Well, it's been quite an afternoon. The wonderful questions, the comments from the panelists, the remarks from our speakers. My closing note is really about awareness. That's why we're here. National Engineering Week is an opportunity for us to reflect on the challenges in our community that surround the disciplines, the academic disciplines of math and science, about the industries that grow up around those academic subjects, and perhaps most importantly about our children, our students, and the opportunities that exist in their lives and how their lives are going to be changing today and in the future, much as our lives have changed. We very much see a future where an aptitude and a skill that's based on math and science will be a difficult future if one does not master some of those skills, and not simply for those who are going to base their career entirely on math and science, such as engineers, even those whose careers are in other disciplines and other areas increasingly find that the use of computers and understanding the math behind the software, understanding the science behind the software, understanding the science behind a study on the environment is an essential life skill. So perhaps Engineering Week, in its simple way of causing us to come together and think a bit more about engineers and the skills academically lead to those, can also cause us a bit to reflect on our lives and those of our children. So those are my thoughts for today. Thank you.
If you would like to apply for a scholarship from the STEM Fund, go to www.sdfoundation.org and check it out.
We're designing a machine that will wake you up in the morning, and since a lot of people have trouble with that, and we had to test which circuits will work first. So first we tried a series circuit, and that's basically a circuit that one circuit going around from the battery back to the battery, and this is how it works. Yeah.
We were thinking which natural areas of San Diego have the most polluted water and which areas of San Diego have the hardest tap water.
We think water closest to the ocean is the most polluted because when it rains, the water collects everything, it passes over and sends us to the ocean.
We think that tap water will maybe be the same hardness in all of San Diego because it comes from the same place.
The material that we use is hardness titrant and hardness reagent number 5 and hardness reagent number 6.
We add a drop and then we have to swirl it so until it turns blue.
Have you met a CEO of a company right here? And a dean of a major university. So if you want to get educated, you can see this guy. If you want a job, you can see that guy.
I want a job.
Job, all right.
Got to get educated first. That was a trick question.